And we're back on The Late Shift on the iHeartRadio Network. I'm Dave Kaufman. You can follow me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. It's a real honor to have our next guest on. He's used to be known as Montreal's renegade preacher. I believe that Bugs Burnett, our entertainment reporter, referred to him as that, and it's stuck like glue. Reverend Darrell Gray is now in Missouri, and he's a senior campaign strategist with the Democratic Party in Missouri, and he's fighting the good fight out there. And after watching the fires in Minneapolis, I thought of Reverend Gray and wanted to have him back on the show. I hate that I only have him on when bad things happen, because I think of him in for good things. I'll tell this story to our national audience. I've said it before on Montreal radio, but I used to live around the corner from his church in Little Burgundy in Montreal, which used to be known as a predominantly black neighborhood. And that's where I was the night that Barack Obama was first elected president of the United States. And the church bells rang throughout Little Burgundy, and it was just the most beautiful thing. And it's an absolute honor to welcome Reverend Darrell Gray back to the program. Reverend Gray, good evening.
Good evening, Dave, and thank you very much. You know, I remember your work, and I try to remind people of my CJAD days. It was the first radio program that I did when I moved to Montreal from Nova Scotia, and working with a lot of great people there, doing Sunday morning commentaries. It was, you know, as far as the English-speaking community, it was our radio station. And so thank you very much for thinking about me. I do agree we're living in some very, I say, depressing times. The death of George Floyd and so many others still around the country. And so thank you for thinking about me, and I hope I can add something to your program tonight.
Well, I know you will, and just hearing your voice, frankly, is very soothing. It's a terrible thing that all of these deaths that are happen to be filmed on cell phone cameras are the ones that get the attention. But by no means does that mean this doesn't happen when the cameras aren't rolling. This is an everyday thing in America.
Well, and that is the problem. I mean, we continue to say everything has changed, but nothing has changed. You look at what happened down in Brunswick, Georgia, cell phone captured it. You look at the situations, either in Louisville, Houston, Indianapolis, Cleveland, and as you said, those are just the ones that are caught on camera. And we continue in our community, and I'm in Louisville right now, we continue to know, you know, the ones that don't get caught on camera, we still experience it every day. And from, you know, white supremacy, you know, and white hatred in Brunswick, to the situation here in Minneapolis with George Floyd. And we're saying, Dave, you've got a police officer who is looking right into the camera. You're looking right into the camera. You have to know that the world is watching you, and still you don't flinch. It's more than heartbreaking, and many activists won't even do interviews because they're saying, I've already said everything. There are no more words. And that's what we're experiencing right now. And so when you see a police station in Minneapolis burning, or young kids shutting down highways in St. Louis and other things around this country, these young people they're not going to turn the other cheek. They've had enough. They've really just had enough, Dave.
You moved to St. Louis, or the Missouri area, because of the Ferguson protests, right?
Exactly. You're right.
And one thing I've noticed is that we've seen a disproportionate amount of deaths since of known Ferguson protesters. Can we make any sense of that?
Well, I mean, listen, and this conversation, Dave, is probably being taped as well, not by your station, but by others. Those of us who have made a commitment to be on the front line for civil rights and social justice and social change, we've been lumped into a category, black community extremists, which gives the federal government the license to monitor and target. I woke up to a 6-foot python in my car in front of my house, a live python.
Whoa.
During the Stockley protest. And so is it a coincidence the number of black activists post-Ferguson who have ended up dead? I think for some of them, it's not a coincidence. For others, it's questionable. But what it has done, it has forced activists to be a lot more vigilant, a lot more careful. I understand that the police officers now have been arrested. That's my understanding.
Officer who knelt, the one who knelt on George Floyd, right. Not the other three who were witnesses.
Here. I mean, but it's you know, when we talk about the deaths of activists that have come out of Ferguson, when we talk about these types of incidents, when, you know, when we ask the question, let's say, you know, this Minneapolis situation, you saw the video, you took your time and you fired him, but the video in and of itself was clear enough to say you should have arrested him. Huh. Black people get arrested every day, Dave, for less evidence.
We saw an African-American CNN reporter arrested on live on television at 6 o'clock this morning.
Exactly. And when he asked the question to the police, what are you going to tell me why I'm being arrested? And the police officer's response is no. I mean, this is what we are dealing with here in the United States. Reverend Jesse Jackson and others continue to say it's modern day lynching. But it's modern day lynching being videotaped on the cell phone. And then the establishment or government or whoever will ask the question, why are black people so angry? We're tired of burying our families. We're tired of burying the Sandra Blands. We're tired of burying the Eric Gardners. We're tired of burying the Michael Browns and the Trayvon Martins and the George Floyds. People are tired. And when we were coming up through the 60s and said, we're fired up, ain't taking no more, these young people are using that phrase a lot differently than we use the phrase. When they say we're not taking it no more, these young people are saying we're not going to turn the other cheek. We're going to do whatever we have to do to get your attention. And then maybe you'll begin to construct and implement policy changes that are going to really make a difference. And David, that's where Black America is now. That's where millennials and Generation X are saying to us, when they say this is not, when Black Lives Matters says this is not my grandmama's movement, then the tactics are grandmama's tactics. But the attitude is not grandmama's attitude. It's not a turn-the-other-cheek attitude. And so that's what America needs to come to grips with right now. Or what we saw last night in Minneapolis, we're going to see, if we don't do something right now, and Donald Trump and his hate brigade is able to do what they do, it's going to be we're going to revisit the mid to late 60s when Watts and Newark and other places burned, because these kids are fired up and they're not taking it anymore.
And I would imagine that having lived through that and having seen, pardon the term, the whitewashing of Dr. King's legacy.
Mm.
It must be extremely frustrating to see this in a rinse, lather, repeat on the wash cycle. It's the same thing over and over again.
Kids will tell you, same thing, different day. That's their phrase, David. Same thing, same issue, different day. And you're right, I was blessed. You know, you talked about the inauguration of the first black president and how we celebrated that. And I would be the first to say I never thought I would see it in my lifetime, and I'm blessed that I did. But at the same time, again, everything has changed. We got, you know, black president, may have a black vice presidential candidate if the Democratic Party does the right thing. But still, even with that, you're still talking about the disproportionate number of black being killed by police. We're talking about mass incarceration. We're talking about illegal stops. We're talking about even coronavirus, disproportionate number of black. We're still in the disproportionate bad category in America, because nothing has changed. Because until you change policy and then implement, see, it's nothing that you can change a policy and then not implement it. So you've got, you know, the young folk out here looking at it, and they're seeing black mayors, and they see some things, but it's like you said, it's almost a mirage. You know, you see it and you get happy and you get excited until you get close up on it and you realize it's simply a mirage, that social justice has not happened, social change has not happened, and that police are killing us on the 6 o'clock news. They're killing us on the 6 o'clock news. They're killing us in real time on the 6 o'clock news. And they're looking right into the camera, and they're not flinching.
We've got a few minutes left with Reverend Darrell Gray, truly one of the people I admire most on this planet. And Reverend Gray, I want to know, and I think a lot of white people want to know how to have this conversation and how to get out of the way in this conversation, but most importantly, how to be the best ally that we can be to those that are facing this head on. I can be as upset as I want, but at the end of the day, I still can sleep well at night knowing that when I get stopped by the cops, the worst I'm going to get is a ticket.
Dave, that is the best question, the best statement, and you've done a great job tonight. But out of everything that you have said and asked, that's the million-dollar question. That's the money shot right there. White people have got to talk to white people. It is really just that simple. White folk have got to be able to say, particularly to white men, age category 55 and up, that average age, who see North America not being what their fathers and grandfathers told them it was going to be. They see that the complexion of Canada, the complexion of America, is getting darker and darker. The numbers are getting higher and higher, the immigrants, the refugees. In the States, your 401k is not what you thought it was going to be. And in Canada, now you've got to bid for that job and you're being underbidded. And so it's not what daddy and granddaddy told me it was going to be like. It's changing, and I am afraid. And you've got to say to your counterparts, you've got to say to your uncle, to your son, to your father, you've got to say, listen, you don't need to be afraid. We are in this together, black and white and brown and yellow and red and male and female and poor and affluent. We're really in this together. You've got to say you don't have to be afraid, because it is our fear that causes our racism and our mistrust and our bigotry and our hatred. It is our fear of that which is different from us. And that's what caused the death of George Floyd. That is what caused the death of Trayvon Martin. That is what caused the death of Sandra Bland. It is that fear. And if you can talk to your counterparts at the golf course, in the country club, in the classroom, at the dinner table, in the backyard, in the playground, wherever, that's where we can make the difference. And I'm glad to say that I know you, Dave. And there are a lot of Dave Kaufmans here in St. Louis and throughout the Midwest that we continue to work with as a network. We're planning activities now, and we're saying to people, nonviolence, not peaceful. We're not going to say to you, Dave, to have a peaceful protest, because we're not feeling that peace right now. But we will say nonviolence. We will say non. And so that is what we need. We need white folk to talk to white folk and say, stop killing black folk. That's what we need.
I promise I will. I will continue this conversation, and both on and off the radio. Reverend Gray, I appreciate you so much, and I know that our audience tonight, a lot of the people listening in Montreal, are going to be really happy to hear a soothing voice, and a lot of people across this whole country tonight are going to be curious to find out a lot more about you. Thank you, sir, and all my love and all the best. Please stay safe.
Thank you, Dave. Same to you. God bless you, man. Peace.